Good evening, and please take up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. And this is one of those very short sayings that the more you dig into, the deeper and more complex it becomes. And I admit I wasn't expecting that when I began preparing it. I thought this was going to be easier than it was. And so I do hope that as I come to certain conclusions in this text, that if you are here tonight wanting to build a personal understanding around the area of inheritance, that you will not take this as the totality of your foundation. There's more on this, there's more writings, more information that would be relevant in coming to conclusions for yourself, but all from, of course, grounded in God's Word is what I mean. But what I mean is, don't take my sermon as an exhaustive treatment of this subject, but I trust that it will be helpful. So let's read Proverbs 13, verse 22, and then I'll pray and we'll begin. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you in this place, desiring to be what we are not naturally, desiring to be good in your sight. And we make no claims to such, excepting that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our all. Nevertheless, now as those that are in Christ and clothed with his righteousness, we pray that you would help us to do good in your sight, and in this matter of inheritance to understand rightly, that we might leave behind us a faithful testimony for the generations that are to come, until your Son returns. Amen. A month or two back, while flipping through channels on the radio, driving somewhere, I heard some sort of interview that was discussing what they called skin. And naturally, I thought this was something to do with moisturizing products or something, and was about to change the radio station when it became clear to me that they were actually using the word skin as an acronym, which I soon realized stood for Spend Kids Inheritance Now. Well, sometimes just SKI, Spend Kids Inheritance. And basically the idea seemed to be that rather than leave an inheritance to their children, parents should spend it all, they should blow it all on holidays and luxury items and whatever else takes their fancy, because, hey, it's my money, I earned it, my kids must learn to stand on their own two feet. Now, in doing some research on this subject, I've since learned that there are different approaches to this skin business, some of which are every bit of as self-serving as I've just described, and others that are more nuanced and giving inheritance early to increase tax savings and doing things together as a family, spending quality times together, things like that. So there seems to be a bit of a range of views within that idea or trend, whatever you want to call it. But what first came to my mind when I heard of it was this particular proverb. As I was driving there, I thought to myself, this proverb, Proverbs 13:22. Not that I could recall the number, but I recalled the words, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. And how different that attitude is to that I was hearing on the radio, that of the world, which was definitely of the more self-indulgent variety. So I thought, let's explore this proverb, shall we, and see some of what the Bible has to say about the matter of leaving an inheritance. So 6 points to help us through the text. This is partially topical, partially on Proverbs itself. Now, the first of which is the good man and the sinner. The good man in this context is the man whom God commends, the man who walks according to the light and wisdom of God's word. That's a theme in Proverbs. It is the wisdom of God versus the folly of man. It is the good versus evil, wicked and so on. But what does this man do, this good man? We are told there that he leaves an inheritance, one that will benefit his children and in turn their children. So the good man is thinking of and providing for the future well-being of his offspring. And so at least part of the idea here is that of good stewardship. But it should be noted at this point already that inheritance in the Old Testament context would have meant the land, that which was received and which would be retained within a family, within a tribal context throughout generations. Even when it was temporarily lost, the idea was that the year of the Jubilee would come along and the land would be returned. What's more, inheritance in the Old Testament laws would be passed most often on to sons, as the daughters would be married off to other sons and receive their inheritance through that line. So most often to sons, though not only, and rather that there would also be a double portion for the firstborn son. And those sorts of laws are not binding on a new covenant community in Christ, where the emphasis is no longer on the land. But we want to be careful, therefore, not to build our entire theology on a single proverb that is in an Old Testament context with all of these additional laws. The other half, then, of verse 22 here speaks of the sinner. One who stores up wealth for any number of reasons, we're not told the reason, perhaps even to give an inheritance to his own children. But what is the difference between him and the good man? Well, ultimately, we are told that everything that belongs to the sinner, to the wicked man, will one day become the possession of the righteous, that is, those whom the Lord commends. Now, obviously, this verse is not concerned to answer every possible question that a 21st century inquiring mind can bring to it. That's not what the Proverbs are here for. Proverbs are by their very nature short and generally understandable and to the point. And that point has already been made. We have it already. It is the characteristic of a good man that they think about the generation that is to come. And they make some sort of provision for them, and we'll talk about what that might look like. Meanwhile, it is the trait of the wicked or the sinful, the foolish man, that they hoard their wealth and eventually what they possess will belong to the children of God. How? When will that belong to the children of God? Well, either at the final judgment, when all things are restored and renewed in creation, and what the wicked once have is now given to the righteous, to God's people. Or, sometimes, and you may have experienced this, in this lifetime, in that the wealth of deceased unbelievers is often bequeathed to believing relatives who put it to better use. That has happened, that will happen. So that's just the basic idea of this proverb. Simple, straight to the point. It says what it says. It means what it means. But let's get to the second point now. Three qualifications. Three qualifications. The limitations set by providence, the need for wisdom, and the danger of inheritance. So let's look at them. The limitations set by providence. This proverb is not saying that those who are unable to leave a material inheritance to their children are not good parents. Again, Proverbs are talking in general terms and do not account for all the specific nuances of every single situation. And it is plain from the rest of Scripture that many a true believer will die with little in the way of worldly inheritance to leave behind. They'll have no real estate, no investments, no trust funds, no vehicles, nothing like that. And consider, for one thing, how many Christians in the early church were slaves. And what did a slave own? Nothing. Not even himself. So what inheritance could he leave materially to his children? Does that mean he's not a good man? Again, consider that Jesus Christ had a particular heart and burden to help the poor. And the apostles command us to remember the poor. Did the apostles rebuke the poor for being poor and say, you are not a good man? No. In fact, when it comes to rich and poor, the vast and overwhelming majority of rebukes are directed to those who have more, not the other way around. Plus, the prophets and the apostles recognize that a person's station in life, a person's health, a person's wealth, all these things are decreed from above by God. 2 Samuel 2 says, the Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. These things are in God's hands. He sets, by his providence, he sets the limitations of our prosperous or lack of prosperous living. So we dare not do as those wolves, those prosperity teachers do. We dare not slander the children of God and blame them for their poverty or rebuke them for not having an inheritance to leave behind. It's a trend that has become commonplace even among some financial institutions who say to hardworking, honest parents, do you want to be dependent on your children? Do you want to be a burden to them? You need to get a better job. You need to make more money. You're not doing enough. As if it was as simple and easy as it sounds. And you can clearly see where their thoughts are, those sorts of institutions. They are not on the age to come. They're not on the horizons of eternity. They're not on the riches that we have in Christ. But rather they are in a few brief years of after retirement, the fleeting riches of Vanity Fair, as John Bunyan might say. So now we must recognize the providence of the Lord over ourselves and over each of his servants. Now I'm going to give you the next two qualifications at the same time, the need for wisdom and the danger of inheritance. Ecclesiastes 7 says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. And Proverbs 20:21 says, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. So again, those sort of things require explaining, but one that sounds a clear warning it's warning us that dumping a large sum of money into the lap of another person might not be a blessing to them. That's what the Proverbs is saying there. Inheritance hastily gained in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. I found some quotes even from unbelievers on a website that were affirming as much themselves. So even the world can see the danger here. Andrew Carnegie said, the almighty dollar bequeathed to a child is an almighty curse. No man has the right to handicap his son with such a burden as great wealth. Cornelius Vanderbilt said, inherited wealth is a certain death to ambition as cocaine is to morality. Henry Ford said, fortunes tend to self-destruction by destroying those who inherit them. And one Christian commentator says, while reflecting on this, certainly we should not transfer wealth to adult children unless we've successfully transferred wisdom to them. Without wisdom, wealth will not only be wasted, but it will damage our children by subsidizing addictions, laziness, and immorality. End quote. And by the way, this is quite similar to what Jesus was warning about in Luke 1 when he was talking about the matter of inheritance when it was brought to him. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, man, who made me judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So you can see he's saying there's a danger here in this matter of inheritance. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store up my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It's Luke chapter 12. So obviously, with these sorts of verses in mind, wisdom is required when bequeathing wealth to another. How much and to whom? Just as wisdom is needed when deciding how much to spend on oneself. For example, and here's a difficult one. Parents need to consider both the reality of the cost of health care as they grow older, the need to love neighbor by preserving life and using the means that are available to us in the modern medical fraternity. They need to consider that. But they also need to consider the reality that there are multitudes of institutions whose sole purpose is to extract every rand and cent from the elderly before they die, and they will happily bankrupt you in the name of quality care. That there be fighting words to some, I know. But I'm raising the question, what is reasonable health care? What are reasonable health expenses? What is the cutoff point for treatment? When is it more loving not to treat? When do you have a more holistic view? When do you stop? And that's going to take some thinking about. That's going to take some talking about and wisdom and counsel and prayer according to a given situation and according to the means of the one who is in it. Because in the words of a dying Christian man whom you know, I don't want to bankrupt my wife as I leave this world. You see, this is why I said we've got to make qualifications around this matter. We need a broader theology than a single verse when it comes to the doctrine of leaving an inheritance behind. Point number three. The natural care parents should have for the future of their offspring. I think that's how I worded it. I always tweak the points when I'm typing those up behind me. But the natural care parents should have for the future of their offspring. It is true that as parents, we train our children towards independence, that we prepare them for life without us. There's real merit in that, in teaching children, growing children, responsibility, and not doing everything for them. In fact, that is loving. And it would be unloving to leave them unready for life without us. We do not want our children to be so dependent upon us when they are older that they have essentially deified us as their parents, and in mom and dad I trust instead of in God I trust. But any parent, certainly any Christian parent, would also have affection enough for their children and their grandchildren to want to leave something for them when that parent dies. The Bible puts a high premium on parental care for children and on consideration of the next generation, which is why you have Deuteronomy 6 and 11 speaking of passing on to the next generation the oracles of God, the light of God's word and his promises, and you have the law and being careful to keep the land within a family unit, within the tribal unit, making sure there's always an inheritance to go on. Family concern is a Christian requirement. 1 Timothy 5 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially their household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says, and in a somewhat different context, but it says as an illustration, for children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So at least part of this concern is going to include material needs, which means we certainly shouldn't expect the last act of dying Christian parents to be that of rampant selfishness, should we? How would it be loving to squander all your wealth in a great self-serving gesture as you leave the world and your children behind in it? It would be like a family traveling together through a barren desert under the constant heat of the sun, mom, dad, and kids. And water is scarce, and the journey is long and difficult. But as they travel, it becomes clear that mom and dad are about to die for whatever reason. But then mom and dad, knowing that their death is near, they pull out their water skins, they open it up, and they just guzzle it all for themselves. And then they turn to the camel that is carrying their reserves, and they take the water reserves out, and they splash it on themselves so that they can be cool for 5 minutes before they die. And then they ascend to glory and peace and comfort at the right hand of God, while their children are left behind in the same desert with a long journey that could have been a little easier if only mom and dad had left them something. Does this sound right to you? Or does it sound like worldliness? Because that picture is not far from what life is like. It's like going through the wilderness on the way to the promised land, if you are a Christian. And we live in a difficult world, don't we? We live in a hard world, don't we? So why would the last act of a Christian parent about to arrive in the eternal riches of heaven, why would they gorge themselves and make it more difficult for those who are left behind? Is that loving? To blow all one's wealth in casinos and cruises, to spend it on frivolous luxuries, to be like Pharaoh hoarding wealth instead of giving it away, to pad your coffin as comfortably as you can for a dead body that will rot in a grave. That is not what a good man does, according to the proverb. Now, to be clear, I am not saying don't travel during your retirement. I'm not saying don't ever spend any money you earned on yourself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't get the medical care you need and so on. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that all or even most of your wealth should be passed on to children, your children. And neither is Scripture. Don't read too much into the words that I've said if that's what you're doing. What Scripture is saying is this: a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So aside from any considerations we're still going to come to around a material, financial inheritance, let's explore what this is really getting at. And that brings us to point four. The greatest legacy and inheritance that a person may leave. What is the greatest inheritance you can leave to your children? It is the spiritual heritage of a Christian testimony, the teachings of the Word, the living out of the gospel, the priorities of Christian life, the example of godliness, the fellowship of the saints. To put it in Proverbs language, it is the legacy of godly wisdom, of fearing God. That is superior by far to rands and real estate. And isn't it wonderful that that is within the power of every Christian parent to give? Even the poorest of the poor. You don't need to have investments and trust funds and several different properties. You don't need to do that to leave an inheritance to your children. You just need to love Christ and pass on that love and interest in God to your children, to the generation that is to come. This even echoes the reward that the Levites had after the Exodus and the times that followed. Deuteronomy 18, verse 2, God says, "They shall have no inheritance among their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance as He promised them." So while God is divvying up the land, while He's saying, you know, you will have that land, and you will have that land, and that's a good land, and that's a good land, and you shall have that, then He gets to the Levites, and they, remember, are going to be rewarded for their faithfulness at the time of the golden calf, and He says to them, guess what? You don't get land. You get Me. The Lord is their inheritance. Again, Joshua 13:14, I think it is. The tribe of Levi alone, to the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as He said to them. Ezekiel 44:28, this shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. And you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. And yes, He cared for them physically, He cared for their needs. They had cities and the surrounding farmlands to a degree. But the point is that they received less materially, but they had a far greater spiritual reward, gift from God in this service that they could give. So parents, nearing the end of your lives perhaps, or wondering if you will have much to leave behind for your kids, fear not. The noblest, the most wonderful, the most valuable, the choicest inheritance you can leave them is the Lord Himself. You could leave them a lifestyle of worship, of wisdom, of living by the living Word. And let us all desire this greatly before and above all else. Said David in Psalm 16, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." In other words, if David could choose just one portion, just one part, just one blessing, it would not be his palaces or his fleets of ships or chariot cities or treasures or acclaim or honor from battle. It would not be some bronze statue somewhere that is set up the way politicians love to have of themselves. That would not be what David chooses. He says, "The Lord is my chosen portion, and with the Lord he will be well satisfied." Oh, let us greatly pity the sons and the daughters of billionaires and multimillionaires, whose only portion will be the fortune that will corrupt them and the graves that will await them. Unless, of course, they turn and repent and believe the gospel. But let us lament the misery of the rich, passed down to their children in the form of mansions and yachts and private jets. How terrible for them that they must eat and drink and be merry and know that they will die. And how great the treasure of the poor Christian soul who has Christ, and having Christ has all. And this, Christian, is our inheritance. It is the Lord, and it is the blessings He bestows, not in this life, but in the age to come. What is it that God said, that is said of Abraham in Hebrews 11? It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He died in faith, not receiving the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that he was a stranger and exile on the earth. He desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Look to that inheritance and seek to leave such a legacy of hope and faithfulness behind you that your children will say with you, "The Lord is my chosen portion." That brings us to the fifth point then. The example of God's gifts to His people. And this may not fit naturally at this point, but I couldn't fit it too naturally anywhere else in the sermon. But one thing that we should be doing is just looking at the example of God Himself, looking at the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. For there we see in the New Testament language much talk of Christian inheritance, not between us and our children, but between God and man. And I realize that when the New Testament is talking of that inheritance language, most of the time, it's not talking about the material possessions that we pass between ourselves on this earth. And it's not talking about the sort of inheritance that we receive from God it doesn't come to us by the death of the Father, for example. So this is not an absolute parallel. This is not a comparison on every level. This now is simply to illustrate the giving nature of God towards His children in and through Christ. So I'm not going to exegete every text where it mentions inheritance. What I'm going to do is simply discern the heart of God in giving to His offspring using this language of inheritance. And so we read Matthew 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In Matthew 19, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Paul prays in Acts 20, and now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. And is this not richness that is given to us freely? Galatians and Corinthians speak about the wicked not inheriting the kingdom of God. And Ephesians 1 says, both that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, and that by the Holy Spirit we have the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The apostle prays that we would have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that we may know what is the hope to which which God has called us, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And Colossians speaks about this more, and Hebrews speaks about this more. And 1 Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We receive this inheritance by the virtue of the death of Christ on our behalf and His resurrection from the grave. In fact, we share in some ways in the inheritance of the Son. Romans 8:17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Now, all of those references I read to you are just to show us the simple point that God our Father is both wise and generous in His giving to His children. And if God is our example, then we ought to be eager to do likewise within the limits set by providence. And that brings us to the final point, which is loving neighbor while using one's wealth to the glory of God. So let's come down to it. Should parents leave an inheritance to their children? I believe the answer from Scripture must be yes. However, that is also an answer that must take cognizance of the dangers, the qualifications, the examples of wisdom and spiritual legacy and financial limitations and so on. It must be an inheritance that an answer that takes cognizance of the eternal mindset that we are to instill into our children, even as we have it ourselves. The Bible certainly does not say that all that a person possesses should go to your child. It does not say that. It might be a portion to your children. It might even be a small portion to your children according to their needs. But there is no absolute guideline as to how much and to whom. But the Bible, Old and New Testament, affirm the second greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, together with the command to especially love those of the household of faith, and especially one's own family. And who is your neighbor? Who might you love with your giving? It could be any number of people around you. For that matter, who is your neighbor now while you are living? Let's just talk about that very briefly, because it is possible to be selfish even in the leaving of an inheritance. You know, they will live miserly, stingy, tight-fisted lives, never giving anything away. And only when they die, when they have no need for their money, do suddenly they become abundantly generous. And they just give it all away. That's not love for neighbor. That's clinging to your idol until death forces you to let it go. Love for neighbor is concerned with their well-being both while you are alive and when you're gone. So you must consider how best, how wisely to honor the spirit of Proverbs 13:22. And you must resist the impulse to gravitate towards those mutually exclusive extremes. You know, some will say, you must give everything to your children. And others will say, no, give all your wealth to church and missions or something like that. And I've noticed from reading some things this week that those commenting on this subject will often do so from a cultural vantage point. For instance, those in richer countries where there's an ethos of a strong, self-made man, that sort of culture, they will often downplay the role of leaving anything to one's children because often the children themselves are usually well off already. Whereas those from poorer nations where work is not as readily available will understandably be very dependent on that sort of generational transfer that comes by way of inheritance, especially when it comes to land and those places where there's subsistence farming. It's not enough for mom and dad just to say, oh, by the way, children, I've left all the land, your source of food and income and everything, I've left it to someone else. Go find yourself somewhere to live. You've got 2 days. That sort of logic just does not work. So as mentioned, for my part, I think that it is imperative to leave some sort of inheritance, but the details of what and how much and to whom require wisdom and liberty. We're to be good stewards. So, for example, if you have a very poor but foolish son or daughter who is enslaved to drugs or gambling or something like that, that's not the sort of person you want to leave wealth to. Or if you've got a flourishing and successful child who lacks for nothing, you may want to cast your eyes elsewhere and say, well, who else is my neighbor? Where is the biblical need most acute here? If you have struggling and faithful children, you may want to ask, should I leave them more? And certainly I think that it is correct that in matters of the kingdom, we should be thinking, in matters of inheritance, we should be thinking of matters of the kingdom. That we should be laying up treasures in heaven as Jesus commanded us. And therefore, you may, again, this is not an imperative now, you may consider leaving a part of your inheritance to a church or a poor missionary family, or a Bible college, or something somewhere that has a kingdom-minded emphasis, that is doing something for the Lord. And no, I do not mean to fund a lavish lifestyle of a celebrity preacher, those who are crooks and charlatans who fleece the sheep of God. No, I mean you may, if you so choose, with wisdom and liberty and prayer and counsel, you may choose to entrust to a collective body of God-fearing people who are accountable, who are auditable, if that's a word, and will ensure that that inheritance is used appropriately. You may choose to do that. And I know of one church that has its premises today only because a member of the congregation died and left a huge endowment behind so that they could build it. But whatever you decide, and however you decide, and whomever you decide upon, be governed by love for God, love for neighbor, love for your children, for the next generation, and an eternal mindset that runs throughout. And if in doubt, seek counsel from others. Whatever you do, do not enter into the spirit of the world that clings to money or spends it frivolously in a great selfish splurge. Spend kids' inheritance now, skin. No, if you are a Christian, yours is a great hope, greater than the trinkets on offer from the world, and you are going to a better place. So remember those who are left behind. And may God grant help us May God grant us help to consider these things rightly as we should, remembering, of course, His providential limitations both upon ourselves and upon the next generation. Because ultimately, the Lord makes rich or poor, the Lord exalts or brings low, and that will be true of ourselves and our children, regardless of what we may do for them. So will you pray with me? And then we will be closing in song a cappella by simply singing the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the good things that you do give us in this life, more than we deserve, more most often than we need. And we thank you, Lord, that we may pass such things on to others. Give us wisdom in doing so, to know your will, to know what will best serve you and the kingdom, and how, Lord, to continue in a spirit of love to a neighbor, both in our living and in our dying. We commit to you, Lord, our children, for whom we always bear a strong concern. We pray that our legacy to them would not be rands or real estate, but would primarily, by supremacy, be the spiritual legacy in Christ, the gospel, the word, the wisdom that comes from knowing you. Oh Lord, may these things be what is left behind. May this be our heritage, for Jesus' sake. Amen.